Good evening. The four-day insurrection at New York's Attica State Prison came to a tragic end this morning. Negotiations gave way to force, making this the bloodiest prison incident the country has seen in four decades.
That was the lead story on the CBS Evening News on September 13th, 1971. Of course, Walter Cronkite there. The uprising at Attica Prison in upstate New York still remains one of the bloodiest prison encounters in U.S. history. And part of the story that came out of Attica was one of overcrowded and inhumane prison conditions. But more than that, the Attica prison riot remained shrouded in controversy for years afterward for the vast cover-ups and lies and secrecy surrounding the retaking of the prison and how it was falsely portrayed by authorities to the American public. Heather Ann Thompson is an award-winning historian at the University of Michigan. She spent more than a decade researching and piecing together documents and accounts of the Attica insurrection. The result is her book, out just this week, Blood in the Water, The Attica Prison Uprising of 1971 and Its Legacy. It's a legacy that she says remains relevant even today.
Attica lives on because it really plays out over the next four decades with the prisoners and the hostages who had been mistreated in the prison during the retaking trying to get justice from the state of New York. But it also lived on because Americans everywhere came to watch their country lock up more and more people, become really the country with the largest incarceration rate. And so Attica became this kind of pivot point where, you know, people are protesting for better prison rights, but ironically, we end up with some of the most brutal conditions today. So it's a really interesting thing to look back at.
Is that pivot point what drew you to the story in this exhaustive retelling and research that you've done?
I was drawn to it both for the pivot, that is to say, what it says about where we ended up today, but I was also really interested in it because Attica remained, despite the various memoirs written and despite the numerous lawsuits, Attica has really remained shrouded in secrecy. The state of New York has worked very hard to kind of keep the records of Attica sealed away, hidden away from the public. And so the book journey for me, which was a 13-year journey to really uncover what had happened at Attica, was as much about telling the victims' stories and, you know, sort of getting the history on the record in a way that it had never been, as it was about trying to figure out what Attica meant for the future of the nation.
One of the most alarming chapters in the aftermath of Attica is the string of cover-ups that you've described in this book, where state troopers who went in to retake the prison after the fact told stories of killing inmates in self-defense. And this book really chronicles case after case where those claims of self-defense just didn't hold up.
And in fact, the reverse was true, that the prisoners who were left in the yard and the hostages who were also in the yard were the ones who endured real brutality, not just in the minutes of the retaking where so many bullets were shot into such a small enclosed space, but really for weeks and for months. Indeed, the long-term costs of this retaking were devastating. And so the police had a great interest in not revealing that, and indeed were very successful in protecting themselves. 39 people died as a result of law enforcement bullets. No police officer ever stood trial for that.
Many of the most important parts of this story in retrospect are told through the eyes of a man named Malcolm Bell. Can you describe who Malcolm Bell was and how he wound up being so important to the story that you're telling here?
Well, Malcolm Bell is really an American hero. I mean, he's one of these guys who was just doing his job as a lawyer and then as a prosecutor working with the state of New York to make sure that there was a thorough investigation of what had happened at Attica. And he was actually assigned to look into the potential trooper crimes. And Malcolm was a very ethical guy. I mean, he wanted to follow the evidence no matter where it led him. And he became very concerned when it seemed to him that the evidence was quite overwhelming about trooper crimes and even corrections officer crimes in the yard. And he was effectively, sidelined. He was unable to get these indictments. So he had to become a whistleblower. And part of my journey was to figure out, you know, what he knew, what he had found. And while he wouldn't disclose that because of, you know, his standing as an officer of the court, part of my research journey was to kind of figure it out and to kind of do what he couldn't do, which is to really shine a more public light on that cover up.
What was your own experience with the state of New York, with various authorities, in trying to uncover parts of this story that hadn't previously been told?
Well, I mean, it was a mixed bag. In the early years of doing the research, it was kind of hit or miss. I was able to get some materials, but over the years, it became clear that the most important records really remained off limits. So I wasn't going to get those. And so I happened to have a bit of luck finding records that clearly no one knew were just sitting there in a courthouse. And so I got much of the story that way. But I also got the story from many of these lawyers who had worked tirelessly over 40 years to at least get those stories on the record.
So, Heather Ann Thompson, we're in this moment now of prison reform, criminal justice reform, a national debate about that. We've seen the federal government just in recent days cutting off their relationship with private prisons, a small move, but a significant one. Put Attica in the context of this, because in 1971, Americans got a view of inmates in prison that was very different than many of them might have today.
Well, I think that's right. And that's another reason why I was really committed to rescuing the story. The fact is that the most brutality that happens at Attica, the reason why Attica becomes a bloodbath is not because of the prisoners. It is because of the law enforcement retaking. And that is a story that America did not learn at the time. The state of New York stood right outside of that prison and said that the prisoners had actually killed the hostages. It wasn't true. But that story went out on the AP. It went out in every small town newspaper. It was on the front page of the New York Times, the LA Times. And I think that that was a devastating blow to prisoner rights because it basically distorted what had happened. And the nation was growing increasingly willing to clamp down on civil rights and increasingly willing to clamp down on prisoner rights, but often having been sold a completely false story about what was going on. In fact, prior to the retaking of Attica, Americans were remarkably sympathetic to prisoner rights and on the need for guard training and you know, better living conditions. One of the places we end up today is paying the price for that backlash to something that was never real. And so we now have this opportunity to redo it, I think. And that's what this moment we're in right now. But if we don't understand what happens behind bars, we are likely to get it wrong again and treat our most vulnerable citizens, barbarically and not even know it.
Heather Ann Thompson is the author of Blood in the Water, The Attica Prison Uprising of 1971 and Its Legacy. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.